We'll turn this morning to the 32nd chapter of Genesis. And I'll read a portion here, passage from God's Word. I believe I'll begin reading with verse 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother. I'll skip a few verses here, maybe. They're just telling about the gift that he prepared for Esau. Drop down maybe to verse 20. And say ye, moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure, he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. That's two passages from the 32nd chapter of Genesis. I just became conscious that we had kind of drifted away from what I chose to refer to as a theme text in this series of lessons I've been bringing along the line of God's doctrine of reconciliation. And that theme text was, let us consider one another. And that's something that we need badly in all of our association together and of all of our dealings one with another. Now, I've been taking up quite a little time and covering quite a little ground in regard to these lessons. But the reason I have is because I consider this to be such an important matter to us. In fact, a paramount matter to us. And I have a deep conviction in my own heart that we cannot survive as a church without full victory along these lines I'm talking to you about in these lessons. We can survive as a group, and we might survive as a nominal church, but we can never survive as a church of God, as a representative group of the body of Christ, with life-giving essence flowing out from it, without full victory along these lines. Now, last Sunday, at the time of our closing out, we were discussing the matter of dealing with people against whom we had committed trespass, or who had committed trespass against us. And also with them against whom we had committed a trespass. And the thought was being dealt with that when you trespass against someone, he becomes your adversary. And the instruction to Jesus was to agree with your adversary quickly. And tell us what would happen if we didn't agree with him quickly. He'd deliver us to the judge and the judge to the officer, and we'd be cast into prison. And we wouldn't come out till we had paid the uttermost farthing. When you commit trespass against someone, that puts them in the driver's seat. You've got to deal with them, and you've got to give satisfaction to them regardless of if they may be unreasonable, if they may be demanding, whatever. You're going to have to give satisfaction to them. They're in the driver's seat, and the terms is up to them for settling that matter. Now, Jesus never said that was the way that it ought to be, that people would be exacting and demanding and demand the uttermost farthing and going the second mile and those things. He never said that is the way it ought to be, but he said if that's the way it is, you go right ahead and do that. Pay the uttermost farthing, go the second mile, give the cloak with the coat if you're dealing with somebody like that. Now, I say that God's blessings will never be on anyone that will deal that way. But he's telling you and me what our obligations are in this matter. And to just go all out, if he's unreasonable, if he's demanding, whatever he is, just go all out to settle that matter. and settle it satisfactorily. I remember when I was in school, we're going on now, I remember in our English class, we had a series of lessons and reading in English classics. And one of them that I remember that stands out in my mind was Shakespeare's classic, The Merchant of Venice. Maybe some of you studied that too. Well, anyhow, in this classic, there was a Jew named Shylock. And Shylock was a revengeful, inexorable lender of money. There was a merchant in Venice named Antonio. And Shylock loaned Antonio a sum of money with the stipulation that if he failed to repay it in 3 months, that the forfeit would be a pound of his flesh taken from whatever part of his body that Shylock chose to have it taken from. As the story goes on, Antonio defaulted in his payment. Shylock was demanding his pound of flesh and that it be taken from the part of the body nearest the heart. Preposterous, ridiculous, sadistic, inhuman, barbaric, you say. Yes, I say that too. We sicken at the thought of such a thing. But now we have a clear, clean-cut example of this very same principle in the Holy Scriptures. In a lesson Jesus gave us in the 18th chapter of Matthew, and let's see, it would be down about the 20th or 22nd verse where it starts, goes on the rest of the chapter about a king taking account of his servants. One was brought unto him and owed him 10,000 talents. And he didn't have the money to pay, so his Lord demanded that he be, all that he had be sold, and he be cast into prison till payment was made. And he just fell down before his Lord and said, just have patience with me, I'll pay you all. Now that was an impossible situation. No doubt he felt how impossible it was, and no doubt that king that was taking account of his servants felt how impossible that thing was. 10,000 talents at the very least figure would be $9,700,000. Now how a servant would ever get in debt that deep to his master, I don't know. But Jesus said that's the way it was. And he fell down before him and begged for mercy and just says, have patience now, and I'll pay you all. And so his master was moved with compassion and just freely forgave him the whole debt. But now that same servant, just look how ridiculous this is now. That same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants that owed him 100 pence. About $45. $45 as compared with 9,700,000. And he demanded payment, and the man didn't have the money right at hand. And he took him by the throat. You got a throat hold on anybody this morning, my advice is turn them loose. Let it go. He took him by the throat. And this man said exactly the same thing to him that he'd said to his master when his master was moved with compassion toward him and forgave him that whole debt. Just have patience with me and I'll pay you. And most anybody could pay that much if you give them a little time, couldn't they? Wasn't anything impossible about that. But he would not have any patience. He demanded that his wife and children be sold and all that he had, and he cast into prison. The pound of flesh, the uttermost farthing, the second mile. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like that. That man was inexorable too. He was inflexible. And he was demanding the pound of flesh. Well, this man that owed his Lord $9,700,000, that was me. It was you too. That was the way things stood between us and God. And it was an impossible situation, and we could never pay out. That fellow servant represented somebody that's trespassed on me some. Maybe they slighted me. They might not have spoken to me at church. Maybe if they did speak, they said the wrong thing. It just said wrong. But you're going to have to go the limit with me before I turn you loose. I've got a throat hold on you. And I'm going to hold you by the throat till you pay all. You go the limit with me. That's the way we are one with another. Somebody said to me once, said, I don't see how so-and-so could ever claim to be saved, and they disagreed with me 2 or 3 times. Such a thing. Couldn't be saved because they disagreed with me. I said, all right, now let's just talk this over a little bit. I said, do you believe that Paul and Barnabas were saved? Well, yeah, sure. And I said, you believe both of them were saved? Yeah, I believe they were both saved. And I said, they had disagreement and sharp contention between them till they separated one from another. I said, do you believe if you and I are successful in making it through to heaven, we'll see Paul and Barnabas both there when we get there? Well, yeah, sure, I believe that. Well, I said, then how about Peter? Paul and Peter, do you believe both of them were saved? Yes. Well, I said, Paul rebuked Peter right to his face one time because he was to be blamed. Peter was in fault. Do you believe if you and I both get to heaven that we'll meet Peter and Paul both there when we get there? Well, sure, I don't have any doubt about that. All right, I said, here it is now. The crux of the matter is, at those men and their incidents are so far removed from us that they don't touch our lives and we're not affected by them. But when it comes down here to you and me, I get affected by this. And I can't overlook anybody that disagrees with me. I've been going on the premise for a long time that I didn't require everybody to agree with me for me to get along with them. Now, some people actually boast that nobody is going to get by with anything with me. I've heard people say when they thought somebody wasn't dealing just as firmly with somebody as they thought they should, send him to me, I'll put him in his place. I've heard that. People have told me that. Just turn him over to me. I'll put him in his place. I'll fix him. Such an attitude. Folks, that's bad. Well, they say they're going to have to toe the mark with me before I ever turn them loose and let them go free. And I see folks deal that way. Now this kind of an idea is fine if it's put in the right place. But it has two outstanding defects as applies to us. First of all, I'm human. And being human, I can easily become affected and prejudiced by things that happen to me and affect my feelings. And if my feelings are hurt, things get blown all out of proportion in my mind. So, I'm hard to deal with. My feelings are hurt. Secondly, I'm not God. And since I'm not God, I can't see down into the hearts of men like God can. I can't discern their thoughts and motives and intentions like God can discern that. Now, if you put this kind of an attitude where it belongs, it's all right. Put it on God. You can't handle it. And God knew you couldn't handle it. So he's advised you and me to have some flexibility about us and to show some mercy in our dealings one with another. If you are sure that you know the heart of the man you're dealing with, then it's all right for you to be exacting. God's exacting. God wants things done right. You don't get by with anything with God, but God knows the hearts of all men, and he discerns the thoughts and motives and purposes of everyone's heart. And judgment belongs to him. It doesn't belong to us for that special reason that we're human and cannot read the thoughts and motives and desires of other people. So, they must be left in the hands of God. Now, there are some people, and I know some, and I've dealt with some, that are just like this. Bring up whatever point that you will, and they'll say yes, but. Bring up some other point, and they'll say yes, but. Bring up another point from another angle, yes, but. You can never conclude anything with people like that. They're demanding the pound of flesh, the uttermost farthing. Yes, but. People are hard to satisfy because they're affected and they're prejudiced in their own feelings by the things that hurt their feelings. It's all out of proportion to them. Yes, but. And you can never reach a conclusion. Oh, they say, well, I just had to accept it and turn it over to God. But did you? Sometimes they're still at arm's length, stiff arm, hold off, let alone attitude, after it's all over. Well, I just dropped the matter, turned it over to God, but that's still the way that people behave and feel in their own hearts and minds. That's bad. Now, I would advise you this morning that as far as your dealings with any of your fellows, Jesus said in the 5th chapter of Matthew, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's the best thing for you and me to do, is to show mercy. Oh, people say you're just wanting to cover up things. Just let things go by. Well, God help us to understand that He hasn't appointed us as the watchdog of the pearly gates. He knows who's entitled to get into heaven and who isn't. And if I'm overly merciful with somebody, when they get there, He's not going to let them in if they haven't cleared themselves. That's His problem. That isn't my problem. Jesus said if they trespass against you 7 times in a day and 7 times in a day turn saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive them. Well, but somebody says, I don't think they're sincere. It didn't cover the ground with me. I don't believe they did that. Just right. Well, all right, did they say I repent? Jesus said, if they say I repent, thou shalt forgive them. Whether they're sincere or not, that's between them and God. Whether they cover the ground or not, God knows that and understands that. And He's the one that's keeping the pearly gate. And He's not going to let folks into heaven that haven't cleared the ground. But He says, if they say, I repent. In James, the 5th chapter and verse 13, He says, he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy. And mercy prevaileth against judgment. Let us recognize that judgment belongs to God. And that we're to behave ourselves like God said for us to behave ourselves, and let Him take care of His end of it. And He never pronounced any blessing on anybody for being exacting and towing the mark, so to speak. Even though they are that way, and He told us to give satisfaction even if they were that way, He didn't pronounce any blessing on people for being that way. And if we want His divine blessings upon us, we must be merciful if we expect to receive mercy. Now in this case of the lesson that I read, Jacob is returning home now after 21 years. When he left, he fled from his brother who was seeking his life because by fraudulent means he had obtained his brother's blessing and his brother's birthright. And his brother was seeking his life and he fled for his life. Now he's coming back to meet that brother. And he prepared presents and sent ahead. And had several different groups of animals that he is sending on up there. And his servants with each one of them. And when you meet Esau, tell him this is a present from his servant Jacob. Perchance he may receive of me when I meet him. After he got all that attended to, then he went to working on himself. You remember he put his wives, his women servants, his children, his flocks, his herds, everything on over the brook, and he was left alone. Folks, that's the way you've got to deal in matters like this. Stand on your own feet. It isn't a matter of, well, what will so-and-so think, and this fellow's my buddy, and he'll feel let down if I go make a reconciliation here, and so on. Just put everybody out. You're going to have to look after yourself. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Jacob sent them all away. And then he was wrestling with a man, the angel of God. And the angel, when the day was breaking, he wrestled with him through the night. When the day was breaking, the angel said, "Let me go." He says, "I'll not let you go till you bless me. I've got to meet that brother today. And I need God with me to meet that brother." Folks, if you and I will wrestle with God and humble our hearts and gain this kind of victory and divine blessings upon our souls before we go to try to settle any matter with an offended brother, we'll get farther with it. We'll have more success. And he wrestled there and he wouldn't let him go. "I'm going to meet that brother today and I'm going to need some help when I get there. I'm going to need you to help me square matters with my brother." And he held on to him and wouldn't let him go. He even throwed his thigh out of joint. But he wrestled on. And pronounced a blessing upon him. Because he had prevailed with God. Folks, we need people that will wrestle with God till they prevail with Him and get the fullness of His blessings in their souls before they try to undertake any such thing as this, what we're dealing with. It'll work out if you do it that way. All right. I have to move on. I Would like to branch out a little here, but I'm going to have to move on. He went on, and he met his brother. They told him, says, your brother's coming, and he's got 400 men with him, and he was very fearful. And he went to God and reminded God of all the promises that God had made to him and how he would bless him and stand by him and help him if he'd go back to his own land. And now I'm going to meet that brother. He's got 400 men with him. He's going to maybe smite me and the women with the children and take away all I have and so on. That's the way I left him. That's the thoughts he had in mind was my life when I left him. And as he approached Esau, he approached him in deep humility, bowing himself to the ground, falling down before him, addressing Esau as his master and himself as Esau's servant. He recognized the fact Esau's in the driver's seat now. He's dictating the terms. I'm going to have to satisfy Esau. Well, he had prevailed with God before he went. God undertook down there, and Esau fell on his neck and embraced him and kissed him, and they wept there for some little time upon each other's necks. That was great, wasn't it? Esau says, what's all this I met coming along? All these animals and flocks and herds and things. What's all that? Jacob said, that's a gift from my Lord Esau. If perchance I might find favor in your eyes. He brushed it aside and said, oh, I have plenty. I have enough. Keep what you have for yourself. There's where many folks would stop. We're trying to effect a reconciliation now. We'll kind of get a brush off. And, oh, forget it. I've been told that too. Just forget it. Esau said to Jacob, keep that you have for yourself. I have plenty. Jacob said, not so. If I found favor in your eyes now, you accept my offering. He pressed his case. Accept my offering as a testimony of the fact that I found favor in your eyes. I brought out in these lessons some time back, if God would deal with you and me like we deal with one another sometimes, and just never know how things are left, we wouldn't feel very free to go to Him, would we? God forgives us and lets us know that He forgives us by lifting the burden off of our heart and purging our conscience from the thing. And he told Charles Elwell once, when Charles felt like he had grieved the Lord and he was out in the back of his place in an old car body that was dumped back there on the back of the place, and he was in that and just crying and weeping and begging before God that God would forgive him. And finally he said, Lord, I want you to forgive me and let me know that you forgive me. Well, he said, the Lord answered him after a while and said, all right. He said, I'm going to forgive you. And I'm going to let you know that I forgive you. But said, I want you to let other people know that you forgive them too. When you have problems with other people, let them know that you forgive them. and make them feel that you forgive them. Well, that was Charles's lesson, but I got it. When he recited it one time, I got it. And that's the way I'm endeavoring to live with my fellow men and with my brethren. If anything ever arises between you and me, I hope by God's grace to be able to convince you that I forgive you and that there's no more to it, as far as I'm concerned. Amen.